Amen. Agreed. I think God was very present for a lot of us in those worship songs. You know, one of my favorite parts of that last song was kind of a strange part. I'm not sure if anybody noticed. But in the middle, like, there was a pause in the music where you're supposed to, like, catch your breath right before you sing the next one. In the middle of that, like, tenth of a second, it was dead silent in here. Do you know how hard it is to achieve dead silence? See? Yeah. It's like almost impossible. And yet, in the middle of that song, we were all just kind of wrapped up in the words and praising God, and we all paused at the same time, and you just heard silence. Whoa. Oh. All right. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, Jesus is the light of the world. So let's light it up. Let's light it up. All right, question for you this evening. If you could be any person on planet Earth, let's say alive, all right? So I'll put a stipulation in. If you could be any person on planet Earth besides yourself, who would it be? Chris Evans. Nice. Who? I still didn't hear it. Lario! Shy Guy, of course. Shy Guy. I don't know if that met the qualification, but that's okay. Yeah. All right, I'm going to get back to that question. Okay? But I want you to hold on to that. I want you to hold on to that as we move. We're going to be talking about a story again in Scripture. A situation where Jesus reveals himself as the light of the world a second time. It follows right after John chapter 8. We're going directly into John chapter 9. And this is just a unique story. I love it. I really think it's powerful and impactful. So really pay close attention. We're going to spend a lot of time in the Word here because we're going to try to cover the entire chapter 9 of John. So we're going to start in verse 1. As we go through, think about those two questions I've been asking. How does this passage show me that Jesus is the Messiah? And what is the life that Jesus brings if we believe this? All right, so now, verse 1, follow along with me. As he went along, Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. I just want to stop there. That's encouraging. Yeah. Praise Jesus. We got a man blind from birth. All right? Do you guys cross people like this in daily life? No? Maybe? It depends, I think, probably on maybe the size of the school that you go to and who's there and who's not, but I think this is a reality that we experience in life. There is blindness, right? From birth, things that we don't like to talk about. But here it is, verse 2. His disciples asked him a question. This is an incredible question from our perspective, right? Rabbi, which just simply means teacher, who sinned? What? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. Whew. Okay. Oh, why? Why would you ask that sort of a question in that moment? Well, honestly, in that day and age, that was a completely normal question to ask because they believed that sin was the source of everything, and so it was personal, so somebody had to have sinned in order for him to have been born blind. It's the only reasonable explanation. Either the parents sinned or this man sinned. Listen to what Jesus says. This is just mind-shattering to the people of that day. Neither this man, I want to pause here for a second. He calls him a man, right? I missed that earlier, but I wanted to mention that. So was he blind for a short amount of time or a long amount of time? Okay, that's important. Yeah. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. What? Are they perfect? No, they're not perfect. He's just simply saying it wasn't his sin or his parents' sin that caused this blindness. And to them, they would have been like, this is, no, right? Somebody had to have sinned, otherwise there wouldn't be such a harsh judgment on him. And he's like, no. And this is Jesus. I just love Jesus. This is what he says. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Whew. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so we ask, okay, Jesus, what are you going to do? After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva. Creamy, I guess. That was the weirdest word that went through my head. I just had to. I'm sorry. That's gross, okay? Mud. He's just like, kapoot. Yeah. All right, do your thing, Jesus. Do your thing. I think it's probably okay the blind guy didn't see any of it happen, okay? That was another joke. All right. Enough of that. All right. Sometimes you don't share the first word that goes in your head. That was probably one of those situations. And put it on the man's eyes. Again, I don't know why God chose to do what he did in this moment, because I'm not going to go around doing that to blind people and expecting to see what happens here. Jesus says, go, he told him. Go, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Now, I want to pause here for a moment. Was he healed before or after he got to the pool? This is good. What does this say? Jesus says, go. He told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. That's pretty intense, isn't it? I don't think this guy could see when Jesus told him to go. And yet he went. He went in faith, believing that there was something up with this Jesus guy. It continues. Verse 8, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. Probably his twin, right? But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. The story continues. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. How dare they? How dare Jesus, right? Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. His response, he put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? Good question. So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he's a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it then that now he can see? This is his parents' response. We know he is our son. I confirm it, the parents answered. And we know he was born blind. Okay. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue, shunned. It's basically about the worst punishment you could do to somebody in that society, is kick them out of the community. You're out. Because you claim Jesus was the Messiah. So they were afraid. This was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Verse 24, a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Bring him back. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. Talking about Jesus. Verse 25, the man replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. I just love this answer. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He has to say it again. He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too? And I imagine that was sarcasm. Do you want to become his disciple? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. Do you remember chapter 8? Jesus was pretty clear where he came from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this, they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. Whew. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. I have a sneaky suspicion that when they threw him out, he wasn't invited back to the synagogue. Who's blind in this passage? Yeah. The Pharisees are the blind. The Pharisees are the blind. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. He didn't even know he was the Messiah yet, and he's believing in him. This is awesome. Verse 37, Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. I just love the play on words there, right? You have now seen him. He couldn't see like 24 hours ago at all. He had seen nothing his entire life. And now 24 hours later, I don't know how long, I'm just guessing, right? He's looking face to face with Jesus Christ. Whew! Can you imagine standing face to face with Jesus Christ? What an incredible honor that this man received. This is incredible. Then, this is what I would do too, I hope. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world so that, oh, this is crazy, ready? So that the blind will see. And those who see will become blind. Whew. Oh, that's deep, isn't it? He just cuts to the heart, doesn't he? I came into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? duh. Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. What an incredible story. What an incredible story. It is not hard for me to believe that this was like, John's like, man, I got to include this one. When he's sitting here, all right, I'm going to write this. Man, I got to include that time where that blind man's eyes were open and he just fell down in worship and all the Pharisees are getting mad, right? Because he's just telling them the simple truth. It's not like he had some deep theological answer to everything that was going on. He's like, dude, I was blind and now I see. I think there's something up with this guy. Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. But they still couldn't handle it. Like, they couldn't deal with that. And Jesus just, bam, just says it so succinctly, so, like, perfectly, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. So here are our two questions, right? The first one, you know, how do we know Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, from this? If you put it up here, Jesus has the power, authority to give sight to the blind. He's the light of the world, man. He can do this any time he wants. He can give sight to the blind. And I think this story proves a couple things. Number one, this man actually received sight twice. This guy received sight twice, which is pretty insane, right? The first time, he actually was gained the physical ability to see. That's pretty wild, right? But a bigger, more gigantic miracle occurred with this blind man. And what was that bigger, most gigantic miracle that happened to this blind man? Of course, someone sneezed. How dare you? It's okay. It's like you tried to hold it in. What is this bigger miracle? The man was able to see Jesus and recognize him as the Messiah. The guy was able to see Jesus and recognize that this was the Son of God. That is miraculous because there were a lot of really, 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 really important, cool, respected, awesome, intelligent people who were around Jesus all the time. They couldn't see anything when they saw Jesus except for maybe a threat. And so this guy had two incredible miracles happen to him in just a short span of time. It's incredible what happens in this story. So I want to jump to the next one because that's how we know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. It's clear. I've never opened the eyes of a blind person, and I have a feeling I'm never going to. If I do, praise Jesus, that'll be pretty amazing. But what kind of life is life in Jesus? And this is where I want to land today. This is where I want to land. I want to spend some time here because I think a lot of us need to hear this, and that's including myself. If we're talking about life in Jesus, weakness becomes strength, and strength becomes weakness. Weakness becomes strength, and strength becomes weakness. Don't you see that in the Pharisees in this? Don't you see that in the blind man? How many of you, when you chose who you wanted to be in this world, chose somebody because you knew they had a really strong weakness? Okay, I'm guessing that's zero then. Okay, silence again. All right. Yeah. Who did we choose? We chose the strong. We chose the wealthy. We chose the popular, the good-looking, the super-duper Elon Musk intelligence. Oh, that would be amazing to be like him, buying Twitter even though he doesn't want to. Yeah, if you're following the news, it's crazy. I'm going to buy Twitter. No, I'm not going to buy Twitter. The court says you're going to buy Twitter. Oh, the problems I don't have. But those are the type of people we look to, the athletes, right? The super spectacular. Look at the incredible strength that they have. Is it strength? Is it strength? It's fascinating, isn't it? Because in the light of the gospel, it's actually our weaknesses that make us strong. This is so anti-world, isn't it? This is so not how we think on a regular basis. We think for us to be in front of Jesus, to be used by Jesus, we have to be somebody special. We have to have something spectacular about us. What was so spectacular about the blind man? Yeah. What's that? Jesus made him see. That's the perfect answer. Oh my goodness. Yeah, you can clap for that. It wasn't his strength at all, was it? His best strength was something he had nothing to do with. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ working right there. That's the gospel. That's the life in Jesus. When we have a life in Jesus, it's our weaknesses that give us the greatest strengths, and it's our greatest strengths that are or become often our greatest weaknesses. Why is that? I want to go to a couple passages. We'll start in Matthew 5. Go ahead and go there. This one gets me every single time because it's so not what we think it should be. It's just the opposite, right? It's certainly Jesus was wrong in this, we want to say. But he's not. He proves it over and over and over again. So I'm in verse 3. I'm in verse 3 of chapter 5 of Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What do you think it should say? Blessed is like honored, happy. Makarios is the word. It's this honored happiness. Like this is the person who gets the head of the table in the kingdom of God. This is the guy that's honored in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who celebrate all the time on a yacht. Nope. Mourn. Why? Because they're going to be comforted. Blessed are the meek, the ones who don't use any personal power for their own benefit. For they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Don't you think the full should be the blessed ones, right? The ones who always have their tummies full, who are always satisfied all the time. And what does this say? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It means they don't have it. For they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted. That doesn't sound blessed. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' world is so backwards from everything that we try to create, even in ourselves, right? How often do we go into the room and what do we want to do? We want to put our best foot forward, right? This is how everybody's going to remember. This is my best personality trait. This is my best skill. This is the best thing I have. I'm throwing it out there. And Jesus says, no, that's your weakness. That's your weakness. I want you to lead with your strength. And what's your strength? Your weakness. This gospel's incredible, isn't it? This gospel is incredible. It's given somebody like me a chance. That's what I'm thinking. All right, go to the next one because the next one is where I want to land on here. Go to 2 Corinthians, all right? So you got to flip to the right a little bit. Got to go through Acts. You got to go through Romans. All right? It takes me forever to get through Romans. That's a little reading the Bible joke. Thank you. And we end in 12, chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. I think we need to hear it, hear this tonight. What time are we at? 8:54. I really enjoy hearing those pages turn. It's almost as good as that silence. That silence in the middle of that song was better, but this is like second maybe. All right, here we go. Let's read this. This is incredible. What verse did I say I was going to start with? 7b. All right? You go, where's 7b? I created b. It's halfway through 7. All right, he says, therefore, in the NIV. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, in order to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh. A messenger of Satan to torment me. Well, that's a great strength you have there. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Now, this is fascinating to me because I wanted to read this story back to back with the story we just read. Because the blind man didn't even ask for sight, at least from what I saw. Right? The blind man didn't even ask for it, and Jesus just healed him. So we start to begin to think, all right, so Jesus is going to go around and heal people. This is amazing. And you know what? Sometimes he does, but this is more incredible. This is absolutely more incredible. Read what it says here. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, oh, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. For my power is made perfect in weakness. What was the strength of the blind man? His weakness. That was his strength. Because he could not do anything about his weakness. He needed someone to come to him and help him in that moment. He was desperate. An entire lifetime of being unable to see anything. He couldn't change it. I'm sure he called it the worst part of himself. But it was in his weakness that Jesus was glorified. And Jesus' power was made perfect in his weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, Paul says, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Then I am strong. Why don't you flip the slide here? So here's my question for you tonight. How are you coming to Jesus? How are you coming to Jesus? Are you saying, Lord, look, this is pretty good. Use me. This is pretty good. Use me, Lord. And I say, Lord, I've done a lot of really cool stuff. I think I got my act together in this area, in this area, in this area. Maybe you're one of those with those really weird things like beauty pageants. What's your greatest weakness? My biggest weakness is my humility. What? I'm too humble too often. You've heard those, right? I care too much.
It's my problem. Oh, it's the thorn in my flesh. I care too much about other people. No, what are you bringing to the feet of Jesus? What are you coming with? Are you coming with your weaknesses? Are you leading with those? Are you leading with the opportunities for God to bring incredible glory to himself, where you can say, you know what, it's not my strength, it's Christ's strength. And so I boast in that. I can boast in that I'm messed up, man. I can boast in that because the Lord has become perfect to me in those areas where I'm messed up. I know that almost everybody in here is going through something, and you know what? We try to lead with the stuff that looks really good. We try to hide the stuff that looks really bad. We'd rather cover and run, kind of like Adam and Eve did in the garden when they sinned for the first time. I don't want to go to God like this. All right? I don't want to be in front of people like this. I don't want to be known for this. But Jesus' kingdom, his gospel, works the other way around. He says, lead with your weaknesses, because it's in your weaknesses that God can show himself strong. Not just to everybody else, but to you too. But to you too. The Lord loves those who desperately seek him. The Lord loves those who desperately seek him. And he will perform the absolute miraculous in your life. And I'm not saying he's going to take away that weakness, because sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But I know what he will do. He'll reveal himself to you. He'll help you to see Jesus as the Messiah. He'll help you to see his grace, which is sufficient for you. Free gifts. He wants to show that to you. Don't come strong. Come weak. Come weak. So you're going to go into quiet times after I'm done praying. I mean, group times. You're going to have s'mores, and it's going to be good. I know. You're not going to listen to anything else I say, because you're like, s'mores. I hunger and thirst for s'mores. I know. Thank you, leaders. It was my fault. All right. So listen. Shh. Tonight, when you're in your small groups, it's going to be really easy to lead with all of the really smart things you know, because you know a lot of them. You're smart people. It's going to be easy to lead with the cool personality that you have, because a lot of you have really cool personalities. This is what I'm going to ask that you do. I want you to see the presence of Jesus show up in an incredibly mighty way in your small groups. And one way I think you can do that tonight is if you lead with your weakness. If you lead with your weakness, confess it. Confess it. I struggle with this. I struggle with this. I can't beat it myself. I need Jesus. And when you lead with that, Christ's power is made perfect in your weakness. Whether he heals you of that or he doesn't, he's going to show up mighty strong. And for that, we can praise him all day and all night long. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your gospel is so different from the way the world works. We think we have to hide the worst part of ourselves. We think we have to do something great to be mighty. We think we have to have it all together in order to be used by you. But it's the people who thought they were so great who missed you, who saw you eyeball to eyeball, face to face, and yet didn't recognize you for who you were. And it took a blind man. It took a blind man, a weak man, a beggar, to prove to the strong that the weak are honored in your kingdom. May we keep that in mind as we walk with you, as we look at how great you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Boom, love Jesus. Don't thank me.